Let us pray. O God, you know our need and you know our yearning. You know all possibilities within us. May we be open now to the new hearing of your fresh word. May it make all the difference. May we say yes. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Bible is a kind of picture book. You leaf through its pages and find many visual images to represent some aspects of God. None of those pictures of God is complete at all. But to go through the entire gallery of those pictures is a wonder. Jesus painted such pictures: God as a father, a farmer, a king, a woman ecstatic on finding her lost coin, a woman hiding some yeast in a big batch of dough, an employer, a shepherd, and in the end, himself. The Old Testament offers some of the same pictures with additional images of God as lover, mother, husband, eagle, bear, fortress, rock, and as a potter, a shaper of clay. That picture was given to the prophet Jeremiah. One day he heard God say, "Go down to the potter's house and observe." And so he went and watched the potter at work shaping the moistened clay on the turning wheel to make some kind of vessel. But then Jeremiah saw something go wrong in the clay. It leaned wrong or grew too thin or tore a gap in itself, and the potter stopped, then mushed the clay back into itself and started all over again, now to shape a different vessel. "That's how I am sometimes," says God. "Nations are in my hands. I shape them like a potter with clay. And if they go wrong, I start over and rework it and shape a different thing." Very soon, this is precisely what would happen to Israel, or the kingdom of Israel called Judah. God's intent for that kingdom was to be a bright, beautiful vessel of faith and righteousness for the world, but its leaders chose otherwise, neglecting and oppressing the poor, the widow, the orphan, the immigrant. In God's temple, they worshiped, but God's commandments they ignored. So soon enough they fell to the empire of Babylon, and God was in the falling and would choose now to shape a new vessel. So with many nations and communities always that go so wrong that they can't function rightly anymore for what a nation or community is meant to be, they implode. Maybe that is what we're seeing around us happening now. It happens also to churches. If we as a church are turned in on ourselves and not bearing witness to God's love beyond ourselves, nor serving people in need, nor taking our stand for justice and mercy in the world, then we are a ruined vessel. We have no right to stand. And we'll be brought down to nothing. And God will make and is making new vessels. That's what Jeremiah's picture of God as a potter seems to be mostly about. Nations and religious institutions refusing the shape for which they were made. And the ingenuity of God, then, in designing new alternatives. Maybe the sermon should stick to the theme of nations and religious institutions, as Jeremiah's word did. But I think the point has been made. And I think there is more for us to learn at the potter's house. There, on the wheel, is also your own life and my own life. Each of us, like clay, to be shaped and reshaped by the potter's hand. You remember the creation story, it's in Genesis 2, where God stooped down to shape a human form from the dirt. The element is dirt, dust, clay, molded into human form. In fact, God called that human Adam, which is a play on the word in Hebrew for dirt, Adam. English language does the same thing. Human, humus, both coming from the same root, meaning earth. That old story seems to know that to be human is, among other things, to be malleable. We are not carved from rock. Our nature is supple. And the creativity of God has shaped us and can continue shaping us and reshaping us into who we are, can be. Must be. The potter's wheel is still turning, and the hands continue to press the clay, caress and move the clay, and bathe it every now and again with water to keep it pliable and in ongoing process. That image is in obvious conflict with our serious doubts about whether or not people can truly be changed and stay in the process of being changed. Personality stays pretty much the same, doesn't it? Habits of mind and habits of behavior can't much be altered, can they? Maybe we can shape the minds and ways of little children, at least a little, maybe less than you'd think. But then the years go on and the clay of a life hardens, and there's no more real shaping to be done. Is there? Let's see it again. God the potter, at the still turning wheel, the divine creative process in human lives never finished. In the words of my friend Grady Nutt, life is not a spelling bee where when you make a mistake, you have to sit down. Life is an art class where you get to keep a wet rag on your clay. As long as you're breathing, the clay of your life has not been fired in the kiln and fixed. We are not finished. You are not finished. No matter how old we've grown, or how fixed we feel, or how despairing we are of a changed life, in the hands of the endlessly creative God, the shaping and reshaping of who we are is still in process. The complication is that we're given actual freedom to participate in that creative process, and we can help it along toward the good, or we can bring things to a distortion. I had a conversation with a potter once, and I'm not making this up. I try not to make anything up. She said to me, "Sometimes the clay has a mind of its own." I said, "Well, tell me more." She said, "You have in your mind what you want to make, but the clay may not take that shape. Sometimes it's like you have to listen to the clay and change the plan." What she said was pretty much what Jeremiah saw. The potter does not completely control the clay, as God does not completely control a nation or a church or you or me. The potter has an idea for the clay and works it toward that end, but the clay has a mind of its own and can be misshapen. Then what does the potter do? Curse the clay and throw it in the garbage? Not at all. The potter patiently, creatively, resolutely starts over again with a new idea for a different shape that suits the clay for the best possible vessel it can now be. So please listen. Your destiny is not fixed. No matter what has or hasn't happened, no matter what you've done or failed to do, no matter how life's unfairness has altered you, no matter that your life has not taken the shape you wanted it to take, the life you now have is not the life you are left with. Divine love is improvisational. Like an artist, God's love comes to what now is, as an artist would do, and makes it something new. We do get to be part in what newness there will be. We yield to God's hand on our lives. We join ourselves to the improvising of newness. We trust that God is at work, and always at work, to go on shaping us for good as we yield. The American writer André Debussy was in a terrible accident that resulted in the amputation of his leg. He was a robust, vigorous, very active physical man, a former Marine, and his loss to him was bitter. One day, working with three physical therapists struggling to walk, he broke down and cried. He said, "I'm not a man." Two of the therapists said to him, "You're fine." And they kept him walking. The third therapist said nothing, just watched him walk. And when it was over, she took him aside and quietly said, "It's in Jeremiah. The potter is making a pot and it cracks. So he smashed it and makes a new vessel. It's time to find the real you now." It may be that you have been broken. Or it may be that already you're well on your way to being what you're meant to be. Either way, the wheel is still turning, and the shaping isn't done. We can thank God for that and lift up our hearts, yielded to what will yet be made a vessel.